is my pleasure to present...
Good morning and welcome to the Carmichael Dave Show, starring Carmichael Dave, Jay Mars, and your phone calls on the Fire Wings hotline at 1-800-920-1140. Text in on the Jiffy Loop text line at 44-1140. Now, strap in and sit down. Here's Carmichael Dave.
Well, good morning. Good morning. Welcome in, Carmichael Dave, Jay Mars. Hey, 6 a.m. on the old dot.
On the dot.
YouTube, before you start yelling, Jay, as usual, is trying to get it up. And this morning he happens to be failing. And by the way, that's not fair to Jay. Jay, in fact, is not failing. The TRS-80 computer that we have been asking to upgrade and replace for months now, that is failing. So we'll get YouTube up, and by we, I mean he. I'm doing nothing. When in fact we can. So in the meantime, you can text us. 916-339-1140. Already from the 209. Really, Jay? No YouTube today? Is this how you want to go through life? That's hardcore.
Well, I got it up.
Oh, you did?
Finally.
Look at you. Hey, congratulations.
See, that's the part I hate.
Yeah.
I hate that. That people like think I'm some sort of blithering incompetent.
Yep.
And I'm like, no, I'm just doing the normal procedure. Whether or not it crashes... not my call.
I'm sensitive to that, and I do my best to try to relieve you of any and all responsibility.
Yeah, I just feel like people just want someone to blame for something, so regardless, it's not going to matter. But I appreciate the effort.
Well, I think part of it is PTSD from a former show I used to work on. When I was on in mornings... with Don Geronimo, there was a lot of behind-the-scenes work we did as well. And Don was the best and worst influence I ever had. He was the best influence in the sense that Don, pro's pro, as silly for Don and Mike listeners as, you know, and funny, I should say, as I sounded on the air, Don's preparation was off the charts. But he didn't do like we prep where we have everything typed out and everything's, you know, segmented and notes and stuff, and this is you know, the sheet we have every day, which I'm now showing to YouTube, which is up for now.
Don't count on that.
This is what we call it's a guide. It's a fail safe. It's what we're going to talk about, and oftentimes which sometimes results in really nasty emails to me. We go off the script, but. Don would have like a, I don't think I'm telling tales out of school here. I always protect the privacy, but I don't think he'd mind. Don would have like a black piece of poster board, right? Mm-hmm. And he would take different colored post-it notes, and he would put post-it notes with, you know, little scribbles, few words on each one, up and down for each segment throughout the day. And then when he got done with one, he'd rip the post-it note off or he'd move the post-it notes. Anyways.
So that's like his show sheet, essentially?
It is his show sheet.
Interesting.
So he would have the post-it notes.
How big was the poster board? Now, I'm trying to visualize all this.
It was about, I'm doing this on the air, I don't know, let's see.
Decent size.
Yeah, about 24 by whatever. You know,
okay,
couple feet wide. You know, it was enough to hold up.
He didn't know how to use Microsoft Word?
He did, but Don was so old school. And the neat thing about it was for him... If he wanted to continue a segment or if he wanted to move a segment because something else happened, he'd take the post-it off from the 7 a.m. hour and he'd put it in between this and this and the 8 o'clock.
That's a good technique, though, because you don't forget.
And you don't forget. It's all right in front of you. And then for example, the post-it coloring was very
important
because, like for example, his green post-it notes, evergreen. So he could take off, if he didn't get to one, he'd take off that and he'd have a stack of evergreen post-it notes that he could just look through. I need a segment here. Oh, this will work. And then put that on for the day. So, you learn a lot. I learned a ton from Don.
Yeah, I'm wondering about the PTSD part.
The PTSD is this. So Don was so great in the sense that he swam in controversy. That was where he lived.
Controversy equals cash.
One of the things he did a ton is he would sniff out a feud. Whether it was somebody over at the Rock state, he would look at who was ahead of him in the ratings, and he would start picking them apart and picking them apart, picking them apart on the air. And eventually it would get to them and their fans, and their fans would go to them and say, dude, you should hear this stuff. And then guess what happened? I remember when I joined that show and it was in the 20s in the ratings in this market, and he was going after the number one show in the city on a rock station here in town. And, you know, I don't like that either. We're not allowed to say that. The Rob Arnie and Dawn show on 98 Rock is who they were going at, mm-hmm. right? So guess what happens? They start playing clips of Dawn talking garbage about them on their show.
Idiots.
And then going after him. So idiots. What Dawn would do is Dawn would hear back.
Now his entire audience knows.
Entire audience yeah. knows. So what they basically did is they did an ad for Dawn on their show. And it was so brilliant of Don, and he's done it so many times that now their whole audience is like, oh, I want to see what he says next. And he would broadcast, coming up at 8:05, I'll respond to what they say. And then their people would then start to tune in at 8:05 to listen to what he'd say so that they could go back and yammer at him. And oh, by the way, he wouldn't do it at 8:05. He'd do it at like 8:09.
Mm-hmm.
And those 4 minutes, he would have a really strong segment.
And capture them.
And they'd be like, you know what? This is actually funnier. Next thing you know, number 20, number 15, number 15, number 10. And then I remember number 10, number 2.
So you're having PTSD from winning?
I'm having PTSD for this when I say he reveled in controversy. So if I was Don, for example, and you were me running YouTube, which is how it would have been, how the setup would have been.
I think I know where this is going.
It wouldn't matter about the computer. Right now, I would be screaming at you on the air about how that's your, by the way, and this isn't a weird way for me to, this is not how I feel. This isn't some weird way for me to passive aggressively communicate. I understand the situation, and it could not be less your fault. But that wouldn't matter. That's a boring explanation to people.
Sure. He's going to make a big deal out of it.
Jay, we need the YouTube. We have sponsors listening. Do you even care about this job? Why have you not had it fixed? What have you done to fix the situation? And then you would tell me, well, it's obviously not working. What extra step are you taking? I was here at this. Why aren't you here at 2 a.m. working on it then? Blah, blah, blah. How would you like it? If you expected to get paid on Friday.
He's basically going to put it in a situation where the other person can't win the
argument. Can't win. Cannot win. And it wasn't fake. It was not fake. Trust me. But I also learned in time that it didn't matter what it was as long as it wasn't illegal. Mm-hmm. If it was, because guess what would happen? While he was yelling at me or somebody else on the crew about it and just taking us down. At first, my ego got in the way, and I was like, hold on a second. You can't talk to me like that. Who do you think? What? Blah, blah, blah. And he would say, we get paid on ratings. What do you care? That's your ego talking. Mm-hmm. You know what happened when I was yelling at you? Somebody pulled into a parking lot to go into a store or to their job, and you know what they didn't do? They didn't get out of the car because they had to hear me screaming at you and you flailing around. And you know what that did? That kept our audience in our quarter hour. And that's how we get paid. So all you're talking about is ego. When you can explain to me how what I'm doing is bad for the show, I'll listen to you. But if it's not bad for our audience, I'm not going to listen to you.
And I was okay, like, so here's my error. Did that apply to him as well? Like if you were to pick him apart, let's say he messed something up.
Never, ever, ever go after the star.
See, that's just it. That's why.
But you know what? He was always also really fair about that because he would say, listen, it's not a level playing field. It's not fair. This is not a democracy.
Mm-hmm.
And that sounds on the surface kind of mean. But I can also tell you this. Before I had worked here for 5 years before I worked with him. And he tripled my salary before I first stepped foot on his show when he called me up.
Hey, you want to get loyalty from anybody in this business,
pay him. It's mafia rules.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to get you financially, but you owe me and you will walk through fire for me. He was right. It was brilliant. It was absolutely brilliant. And I realized there is a reason why. I guess I'll just make this an homage to Don, who, by the way, is still with us. And this isn't like Don passed away or I am. He just happened to come up. It's an homage to Don. You know, Don made millions of dollars over the years in the Don and Mike show. Millions of dollars.
He became a rich.
He also had basically the same crew for 25 years on the East Coast. Same crew. That doesn't happen if you're
not if you're not getting paid.
Right. When my children were 3 and 4 years old, 5, 6 years old, when I was on that show, every single birthday, holiday, whatever, there were gifts for them and little cards and fun things. Very conscious.
Don knew the actual proper way, it sounds like, to keep loyalty.
That's exactly what he did. And you know what? I could
it
not
wasn't
have...
saying, hey, I'm your friend. It's, hey, I'll get you paid and make sure your family's
that's,
good.
That's right. And I couldn't, I realized after working
I respect
with
that.
Because Don and Mike was my favorite show growing up. I always wanted to work on that show, be a part of that show. And then I had a chance to work with him when he came out here. And I realized when I got fired, when, by the way, we had risen, that was the other part of the story. We'd gotten to number two in the.
Yeah, when you got the show to number two.
Yeah, when I personally got the show to number two and got shown the door. I realized I could probably maybe have lasted with Don another year max because it was too stressful.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't do it, dude. I couldn't be that mean to people. Like, I'm talking about listeners and people that would come in. Like, those awkward moments that were so golden on the radio, I couldn't. It takes a toll on you. And somehow Don had that leather on him that shielded him from that.
Well, that day came up in a different time and era, though, when you
Now
of that was just essentially comedy.
Couldn't do that now.
You could be the worst person ever. As long as you got a laugh or played a laugh track, it was funny. Context did not matter days.
And to close it out, I mean, honestly, and Don Geronimo was and is just he would probably hate me saying this. Michael Source, his real name, off the air. Amazing. Just the nicest, coolest, calmest, most humble guy. You'd never know he was in radio. Talk to him off the air on the phone in the morning. Just a normal dude. And maybe that's what helped him ultimately was you have the character and then you have the real life person.
Anyways. He could separate the art from reality.
Yep. It was an experience I will treasure and never forget. We'll take a break.
Yeah! That was nice.
Coming up next.
Also the most stressful radio of my life. Leading off, the Giants, as we've told you on this show throughout the baseball season, have lost their lead to the Dodgers. We'll get into that super predictable thing. The A's got eaten by a tiger. And Ben Simmons stuff. I guess we have an update there. Yeah. We'll have Sam Amicon in the 7 o'clock hour to talk about that. We'll start it all now.
It's time for Leading Off, brought to you by Lasher's Elk Grove Dodge, where for over 60 years, their name means a great deal in the Elk Grove Auto Mall and online at elkgrovedodge.com. Here's cut number one.
Haas setting up inside. The 1-2. Swing and a miss. Got him. Tigers win.
Yeah. A's lose. That's the important thing. We don't care that the Tigers won. We care that the A's lost. The A's continue to get, at least from a divisional point of view, a bit of a break as the Astros have lost a couple in a row. 13 games over 500 is Oakland. Oakland? Five back, though, of the Astros. Unfortunately, the real deal here, if we accept the fact that the odds are fairly heavy, if not overwhelming, that the A's are not going to catch the Astros. I don't know if September 2nd is the appropriate time, Jay, to give up on the division because anything can happen, but I think we're at the anything can happen standpoint.
Right. Oh, no. It's no longer if they do this, if they do that, you know, I think there's a good chance they can catch them here.
Yep.
It's basically like the Astros are probably going to win the division barring some sort of major losing streak.
Yep. And now with
the A's are going to lose games.
The Red Sox and Yankees, who have not been doing great of late, both lose. Here's the bottom line for the A's as we come down the stretch here. Remember, a month from tomorrow is the final regular season game. And we're literally in the last month of the season. Thank you. The A's do have six games remaining with the Astros. But they also have three with the White Sox. And they have seven with Seattle. That's the bulk of their remaining schedule. Fortunately for them, well, Toronto's next. Yeah. That's not a fortunately. But they have the Royals. They have the Angels. They have the Rangers.
A bunch of winnable games
they
in
do,
the series.
But they do not play the Yankees, nor do they play the Red Sox the remainder of the season. Their work is cut out for them, and you need every win over a bad team. I know they've been doing well in the series, but you got to have those wins, and they had it. They had started out strong against the Tigers.
And the Astros, A's, six games. I know people look at it like, all right, well, there's a chance to make up ground. A's haven't played very well against the Astros this year, so...
The A's haven't played very well against the Astros in a long time.
That's an excellent point.
All right, cut number two.
Leading off. Cut number two.
Hader has the sign. Here's the stretch in his 0-2 pitch. He struck out Brandon Belt. The ball game is over. 5-2 the final. The Brewers have taken the first three from the Giants here in San Francisco.
It was a pleasure from a baseball point of view, not from a Giants fan's point of view, to watch Josh Hader work the ninth inning. He gave up a walk. That was it to Darren Roof.
Rough.
I always call him Roof. Left-hander, nobody can hit him. But left-handers look absolutely stupid. Brandon Belt looked like I would have looked up there. And
Dodgers hit him pretty good.
People say, well, that's the Dodgers.
Oh, that's right. They don't count.
They don't count. People say, oh, I could do that. No, I literally could have done what Brandon Belt did last night. That's not a rip on Brandon Belt. Just against lefties, he is...
Yeah.
He is unhittable.
That arm angle, the way he comes at you, it's just not a thing.
29 of 30 save opportunities with a 1.48 ERA and 84 strikeouts. He's as close to unhittable as you get, and that was just a shutdown. The Milwaukee Brewers haven't just beaten the San Francisco Giants 3 of 3 so far with the fourth game today, and thank God. They have decimated the Giants. They have pulled the Giants' pants down and spanked them over their knee right on second base at their home field. And with the Dodgers winning last night, the Giants, who I believe had led the division since June.
Yeah, they've led the division since June. The Dodgers haven't been in first place since, I believe, April 25th.
The Dodgers now take first place. Perhaps for the final time this year, here's why. The Dodgers today are off. The Giants finish up against the Brewers.
Milwaukee.
Which means even with the win, they tie the Dodgers.
Well, and there's a good chance for a win today. The Giants got Logan Webb on the mound.
The Giants had Kevin Gausman on the mound yesterday.
Yeah, but Webb's been your best pitcher recently.
Yes, he has. But then they go and they take on the Dodgers for three. And the Dodgers are figuring it. The Dodgers have figured it out. They have gotten healthy.
Yeah, but they've had their blips there. Again, I know they sweeping the Braves, that's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big deal. But the series before that, they lost 2 of 3 at home to the Rockies. What I'm saying is this team can be very Jekyll and Hyde, and the Giants are going to be getting the back end of that rotation, minus Walker Buehler on Sunday. They're getting Price and Urias. Those are two very winnable games for the Giants. Giants haven't announced a rotation for the series yet, but the Dodgers have. It's very winnable. You'll struggle with Buehler on Sunday, but Urias and Price are both ripe for the pickings.
Here's the other thing, too. The Giants have 33 games left. 17 of those games are against the Brewers, the Braves, the Dodgers, and the Padres.
Well, we've seen the Padres are a very beatable team at this point.
They are, and 10 of those games are against the Padres, but they're going to have to just annihilate the Padres.
Which they can. The Padres are on a fast track to nowhere right now. You want to talk about that? There was a story I did not see developing. All that money they spent on pitching, and their pitching has sucked.
By the way, the Dodgers have the Giants coming up, and then they have... They have the Padres for a few. Here's what's fun. The Dodgers have the Giants, the Cardinals, the Padres, the Diamondbacks and Reds, the Rockies, the Diamondbacks, the Padres again, and they do finish with a three-gamer against Milwaukee.
Listen, I know the Diamondbacks are like 42 games out, but the record really doesn't
Yeah, that is the Dodgers division. As a Giants fan, you just got to get yourself comfortable in the wild card situation. You're going to be in the wild card position, and almost certainly.
But are you going to be in the wild card position against the Reds or the Padres?
Well, that's the question, because the Padres are a half game back of the Reds right now. And to be honest with you, be careful what you wish for, but I'd rather have the Reds. Because say what you want about the Padres, they have a lot of talent on that team. And I don't want to be the Robitussin for the Padres.
Well, not just that. You also don't want to get into a one-game scenario. And again, I know the pitching, the numbers hasn't been very good this year. But you don't want to face Blake Snell or Yu Darvish in a one-game.
So in future scheduling for what's on tap today, the Giants will host the one-game wild card against either. I'm calling it.
33 games September remaining in the
2nd.
Season.
September 2nd, I am calling it.
That's
the Giants are done in the NL West. It's wild card time.
Negative Nancy. Welcome back to the show. It's so good to see you.
I've been consistent all year.
Negatively consistent all year.
We'll take a break.
Leading off.
Nope.
Cut number three.
Yeah!
That was
nice. Smooth, that.
Coming up next.
Like a remix. All right. Well, we'll stay in baseball. The Giants lose that lead. That's fine. That's fine. Don't care. That's fine. It's not bothering me. It's fine.
Lead's a lead.
By the way, got the Giants cap on today. Still loyal.
Got the World Series sweatshirt on. Still loyal.
Also, vaccinations in baseball starting to take their toll, or should I say not vaccinations. We'll explain what is and what isn't going to be at the ballpark this year. More of that coming up right after that.
When management finally gets tired and just gives up, the Carmichael Dave Show returns now.
2-2 coming back from Brebbia. Kane rips one towards left. Back at the warning track at the wall. It's off the top of the fence. And did it stay in play? It did. Lorenzo Kane is going to end up at second base. And the Brewers are going to take another look at this one.
Yeah, that was a home run. That was a backbreaker. That led to this.
Hader has the sign. Here's the stretch in his 0-2 pitch. He struck out Brandon Belt, and the ball game is over. 5-2 the final. The Brewers have taken the first three from the Giants here in San Francisco.
Yep. Dodgers take a half-game lead. The Giants' final day in first place for the NL West was yesterday.
Any final words for the run atop, so to speak?
It was a good run. It was an unexpected run. This has been a blast of a year. There's no shame in being a Giants fan. There's no shame with this team. Maybe if we were, Philly or one of those markets, we'd be all upset. This team's been overachieving all year long. Farhan Zaidi, Gabe Kapler should still be manager of the year by a long shot. It should not even be close. But in the end, almost always, talent wins out. Just talent top to bottom. Dodgers are just too good. By the way, the Giants still have the second best record in baseball. Let's not act like they're on some crazy swoon and are terrible. They're the second best team in baseball, and
they just happen to play the same division as the Dodgers,
right? And if you, I think this type of standings would never work. But let's say we're going to talk about the Tour Championship later today and the unique scoring system they have for the end of the FedEx Cup. It's golf, by the way, if you're not a golf fan. If they had something in the standings where teams were weighted. The records were weighted based on paper talent. So the Dodgers, let's say, would start the year with, let's say, +6 wins expected. The Giants would have started the year with like -6 wins expected. So when you look at the fact that the Giants have the second best record in baseball, if you were to weight the standings based on the roster talent, the Giants have like a 10-game lead on the Dodgers. They're just that less talented. And when you're acquiring the Max Scherzers of the world to go on top of the Mookie Bettses of the world, to go on top of a lot of the homegrown that they've had, to be fair to them, the only thing you can hope for is most of them have career bad years or injuries. And you don't hope for injuries.
Injuries have hit the Dodgers.
And they have. And that's why the Giants have been in first place for so long. And the Dodgers are fairly healthy now at the right time. And the blessing in disguise for the Dodgers has been those injuries, in the sense that not season ending, and they were able to stay within striking distance at this point. And now those people that were injured before, they're getting back into the swing of things, pun intended, but highly rested. By the time the playoffs and the grind towards the World Series start, you're going to have a lot of these guys that are right in the no dog days of summer for them. No wear and tear on them. The Dodgers are
in. Giants have a lot of guys like that, though, too.
They do. They do. But this is, as you get into the stretch, as we get closer to playoff-style baseball, as every win, every game is a must-win, especially if you're in a race like this, this is where that cream rises to the top. This is where you have to have those shutdown guys and the bully. This is where you have to do things like that. By the way, news out of the NBA while we were at break, Paul Millsap signed with the. It's funny how the Brooklyn Nets are now the team. The Nets and the Lakers are like the team where everybody just goes.
Right. They've determined, hey, if you're going to go try to win on the East Coast, it's Brooklyn, West Coast, Lakers. Hey, geez.
And boy, is the NBA happy about that.
You get the New rich York. Get richer.
You can't get the Knicks in there, not right now at least. So, but Brooklyn is in New York, so you've got the you're going to have New York, L.A. most certainly, almost certainly, I would think.
I mean, isn't that kind of the favorite going into the season, Lakers winning the West? Yes. I mean, obviously, they got to play 82 games in the playoffs, but
if – and this is a big if, always is, but you have to account for it. If both teams stay relatively healthy, Nets and Lakers will walk to the finals. And then I think the Nets will walk over the Lakers.
Who do you think has more resistance in their path, the Lakers or the Nets? In the Eastern Conference, you got the defending NBA champion Bucks. So they're going to be tough.
You got the Bucks. You got the Sixers.
The Sixers are a question mark to me at this point. We don't know what that team's going to look like.
The Lakers have more in their way. Lakers have the Suns. Lakers have a resurgent Denver. Warriors team. Utah, Denver.
Kings.
Sacramento, obviously. back to baseball real quick, because we'll get to a lot of that later. Again, Sam Amick's going to join us at 7:40 today. Not a full half-hour interview with him today. I just want to go over his Ben Simmons article from yesterday.
Yeah, Sam hates the Kings getting Ben Simmons, so he makes
he
sure
really
to
does.
Tell everyone that.
We're going to talk about this article, too. People are, I see they're shutting the door on this trade.
Oh, I think that's a mistake.
That's
a big mistake.
John Smoltz, along with Al Leiter, both former Major League pitchers who work for MLB Network, they are not making in-studio appearances for MLB Network. They have both refused the coronavirus vaccine. This is according to multiple reports. The network's policy makes it mandatory for all employees to be vaccinated, and that took effect yesterday. They will still do analysis for the studio shows, but it will be remote instead of from the Secaucus, New Jersey studios. Smoltz is 54. Leiter is 55. Leiter's been with the network 12 years now, and Smoltz joined it in 2016. Very interesting. You are, in a way, de facto displaying now who is not vaccinated. Everybody knows about it, and hey, say what you want. They made their decision, and the MLB Network's making their decision, and they're still on
there
the air. They're still doing their jobs. And honestly, I don't know that that's much of a deterrent, if you will, for Smoltz or Leiter. In fact, you get to stay at home. You don't have to travel. You can wear a suit jacket and tie and boxers.
There's the conspiracy. They're not getting vaxxed so they can work from home.
I mean, let's be honest, right? But on the other hand, you do have actual consequences. Bob Boone. Kansas City Royal?
Kansas City Royal, Cincinnati Red. He played for another team.
Yeah, Reds. That's right.
He played, was with what, 28?
He played forever,
no,
dude.
No, not 28. Like 18.
I remember getting his baseball card, and the letters were so small on the back because he had played for so many teams when they listed the stats.
Yeah, no, Bob Boone was a star catcher for a while, then obviously managed the Reds, and I think the Royals as well.
He has been with the Washington Nationals since, I think, 05, 06. He's a VP with the Nationals. He has resigned as opposed to complying with the Nationals' COVID-19 vaccine mandate for all non-uniformed employees. He is 73 years old, senior advisor to GM Mike Rizzo. The Washington Post first report on that. Aaron Boone, his son, announced in March he was vaccinated as well. Two scouts also with the Nets will not be with the organization next year due to the vaccine policy. So you're starting to see a lot of this come out. And we should really just confine it to a segment.
Yeah.
Because we can argue about this all day long. I'm not trying to get into that. Finally, the NBA informed teams that recently issued laws in both New York City and San Francisco about vaccine requirements will be enforced, including for players. for members of the Knicks, the Nets, and the Warriors, unless they get an approved medical or religious exemption, meaning that if you are a player, for example, for the Warriors, and you're not vaccinated, you can't play in your own home game.
Ooh.
That's the biggest restriction. I don't know, this isn't getting enough press here. That's a huge restriction. Huge deal. Imagine if I'm just picking Steph Curry because he's a superstar. I believe he is vaccinated. But
regardless.
Imagine if Steph didn't get vaccinated and he just played road games.
Played 41 games out of the year. Yeah, that's insane.
And then no playoffs.
That's insane.
All right, we'll take a break.
Yeah! That was nice.
Coming up next.
All right. Sam Amick, as Jay said, does not like the idea of Ben Simmons playing for the Kings. So he wrote a bad article about Sam does his thing. He'll join us at 7:40. We'll talk about the article next.
The number 12 mid-market sports morning show in the country. It's the Carmichael Dave Show on Sports 1140 KHCK.
All right, Sam Amick will join us at 7:40 to talk about his article in The Athletic yesterday. Don't forget, coming up next week, we'll be announcing our fall lineup for you, and I'm very excited, as you should be too. As much as you love listening to us, why not listen to some experts? And we have plenty of those joining us.
I'm an expert in a few areas.
I think one area you're really an expert at. We changed the diet lately, or?
No, I think my body's recalibrating
from vacation.
Vacation because two things. One, didn't wake up at my normal hour. I actually woke up completely different hours than we normally do.
Yep.
Also went without caffeine and coffee for most of it. And I think my body's readjusting to that becoming a normal thing.
Yeah.
And it's hurting.
Yeah. Yeah, poor Jay. Jay's had to run out of the room a few. Last break. Yeah, he said in my ear during the break, he goes, dude, we got to go now. Gotta go.
It was one of those, like, and you saw me. I did. A dead sprint.
You were, you had the look of fear in your eyes, friend.
I did. And I'm not going to get into the details, but yes.
Rudy on the YouTube chat. You can watch us on YouTube. Just search KHDK. Wants to know if we're going to be doing any fantasy football coverage. Come on, Rudy.
Jeez, Rudy.
Rudy.
Act like you've been here before.
You know what? When they're saying roo, you think they're saying roo? They're booing.
No, it's more like
booing. They're actually booing. They're booing you. It's not roo. It's boo. Okay? When you ask a question like, are we going to have fantasy football coverage on this show?
Right. South Bend isn't chanting your name. Rudy.
We're like, had a few too many broodies because it's a drunk question. Ben Simmons won't be in a Kings jersey anytime soon, if ever. Unless the Sixers' asking price goes down dramatically. That, according to Sam Amick of The Athletic. Well, okay. BetMGM had them handicapped, or I should say has, as the third most likely team. I think behind Minnesota is one. I want to say the Warriors are the second.
The Warriors or Minnesota are 1-2. Depending on who you look at, I think the Warriors are actually 1 at this point.
According to a source with knowledge of their situation, and by the way, please do subscribe to The Athletic. They have a really good end-of-the-year deal going on right now. The Kings spoke to the Sixers weeks ago, made it clear that neither Fox nor Tyrese Halliburton would be included in the Simmons deal. That stance has not changed and will not change, according to the source. The internal expectation is the core of their roster will remain the same. If there is a Kings deal to be had, it would be healed badly and most likely picks. That's the most likely deal, apparently. The Philadelphia Inquirer, you might remember, reported in late July, the Sixers asked Golden State for Andrew Wiggins, former number 2 James Wiseman, and the number 7 and number 14 picks in this year's draft, which turned out to be Jonathan Kuminga and Moses Moody, and two additional first-rounders. Now, granted, the Warriors' additional future first-rounders and the Kings' additional the Kings' picks, we've told you, are the most valuable picks in the NBA, not as valuable on the Warriors' side. So let's look at this. Now, we have a lot of people closing the book on this deal. It has never been likely that the Kings would get Ben Simmons. That's not how you look at these deals, because no trades are, unless they're being publicly forced to a specific team like Anthony Davis Lakers, they're never likely. It's just a matter of how unlikely is it, and the less unlikely it gets, the more exciting it gets. Mm-hmm. But to close the door on this deal would be silly, but also to be hung up on this deal when nothing's going on would be silly. Let's get a couple things out of the way, Jay, and disagree with me if you want. Number one, Sam Amick's reporting is, as always, unimpeachable. He is as reliable as they come, if not more, in this business. So there is no amount of inaccuracy when it comes to Sam Amick. Sam also, and we'll discuss this specifically, Sam also is very aware, as most in the media are, that these negotiations are often public. Media is many times used as a pawn, as a negotiation tool. That's where leaks happen. Obviously, Sam had a source, so somebody's talking, and obviously that source, it would seem, would be on the Kings side because this is highly Kings related. Also, I've had some of these questions before. When a reporter like Sam or any reporter worth their salt is saying sources close to the team, he's generally that may not necessarily mean he's talking to Monty McNair, Luke Walton, or Vivek Ranadive, but he's also not talking to Slamson or Scott Moak. No offense, Scott. It's somebody that's...
Or Tom the Popcorn Guy.
Very good. So, the idea that the Sixers and the Kings have not talked in like 4 to 6 weeks, I find highly, highly unlikely. It doesn't have to be Daryl Morey and Monty McNair talking. There are lieutenants for a reason. It could be Wes Wilcox or Joe Dumars or God knows who in that front. Kent Catanella. That's talking to, you know, Fred Smith or whoever with the Sixers front office. But you're posturing right now. You're letting each other know this ain't going to happen. Daryl Morey has set his expectations. That is part of a negotiation. As the late, great David Stern said, life is a negotiation. Mm-hmm. And the Kings have set their expectations. Now the question is, can they meet somewhere in the middle, or is somebody else going to come in and give Daryl Morey a better shot? Because right now, my guess, this is 100% a guess, but my guess is the Kings' deal on the table right now is something like Buddy, Bagley, two lightly protected first-rounders. So the question is there room between where Daryl Morey is at right now and where the Kings are at right now for them to come to a deal that does not involve Halliburton or Fox? I don't know the answer to that. Nobody does.
I think what we're seeing here, and I think you stated it best, there's posturing from every team right now,
correct,
whether it's the Kings, the Sixers, the Warriors, the Wolves. I think Toronto's been in the mix. San Antonio, just whoever's been in the mix, right? Mm. Because they're all seeing the same thing come out of Philadelphia. This situation continues to implode,
yes,
internally.
Yes.
And they're all watching with bated breath as Daryl Morey has put out these outlandish, like, ridiculous returns that he wants for Ben Simmons, and nobody's biting. Mm. Nobody's biting, and they're not going to bite. They're not going to bite because they're watching over there like, yo, your man's has said publicly he wants out.
Right.
He has stated he will not be at training camp, and you just can't have that in your organization. So I think what Monty McNair and other teams are doing is they're just waiting and waiting and waiting until Morey has to accept a deal that he doesn't want to accept, which, by the way, that's how this is going to end.
Correct.
That is how this is going to end. Daryl Morey is going to have to accept a deal that is not this, like, ridiculous godfather offer of picks and stars that he wants or the superstar that he wants. It's not going to happen. And so I think the Kings and other teams are being smart here to just wait for that to continue to crater and be like, all right, this is our best trade offer. Which of all these offers that you don't want to take is best for you? And the Kings, in that scenario, in my opinion, have a competitive offer at that point with, you know, Buddy and or Barnes, Bagley, and, you know, the array of picks that they're comfortable dealing.
It's whatever, to your point, Daryl Morey can swallow.
Mm-hmm.
And here's all that matters, and there's nuance. Ben Simmons turned 25 July 20th. He just turned 25.
He's a youngin.
He is signed for three more full seasons.
Four more, excuse me.
I apologize. To a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
To about $140 million. But you have available in the NBA a just turned 25, I think, three-time All-Star, four-time defensive first-team player.
Three-time All-Star, I believe, has made one defensive first-team, one defensive second-team, and is a runner-up for the defensive player of the year.
Two-time All-Defensive first-team.
Okay.
Three-time NBA All-Star, but last 2 years, all defense first team. All NBA.
And again, a runner-up to the defensive player of the year.
Right.
You're talking about a guy who's literally arguably the second-best defender in the NBA.
Led the league in steals in 2020 at 6'11". Ben Simmons is not without flaws. Ben Simmons is also a unicorn.
Yeah.
He is six. He is a 6'11 point guard who can play power forward.
Could probably play center.
Comfortably.
Yeah, I was going to say, and can play center in lineups.
Imagine unlocking Ben Simmons at the four, for example. Mm-hmm.
Which I think is where he should be playing.
And for me, number one, nobody is untouchable on the Sacramento Kings. You're not. You don't have untouchable players. You do not have untouchable players when you have missed the playoffs for 15 years. Number one.
Straight up.
Number two, the Sacramento Kings have nobody who was an all-star. And you have the opportunity to grab a just-turned 25, two-time all-star.
Three-time all-star.
Three-time all-star, two-time all-defensive first team.
Remember his awards, bruh.
The amount of slander I see on Ben Simmons is hilarious to me.
Yeah, it's like I'm old enough to remember when Ben Simmons, the consensus wasn't that he sucks.
If I'm Monty McNair, I'm offering up the – I go back to Daryl Morey and I say, listen, we're taking Fox and Halliburton off the table. You know that.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the rest of our roster. Go for it. And we'll add in two first-round picks. Go for it. Do what you got to do.
And I think if that's the approach, mm-hmm. I think the only team that could really trump you is Golden State.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
Because I don't feel like Portland's going to switch out C.J. McCollum for Ben Simmons at this point. I think his value's gone down too much where they're like, man, we can get – or why are we giving up C.J. for this guy? If Sacramento's not giving up Tyrese Halliburton, why would Portland give up C.J. McCollum?
And then if you're the Warriors too, you have a big decision because Steph and Clay and Dre are not getting any younger.
No.
And you basically have to decide, can we win a championship adding Ben Simmons to those three? Because they have a bit of a future in front of them. They have Wiseman. They have Kuminga. Yeah. They have Moody.
And Clay is such a question mark. You know, he's not going to start the season.
Right.
He hasn't played in 2 years.
But oh, Lordy. Listen, as a Kings fan, I want Ben Simmons on this team for the right deal, Jay. As an NBA fan, I want Ben Simmons on the Warriors.
Well, I don't like NBA fans.
I agree with you. We'll take a break.
Yeah! That was nice.
Coming up next.
All right, Soundgarden time. Bill Belichick will talk about why Mac Jones got the job. Cam Newton will talk about why he should have a job. Rajon Rondo, one of the youngins on the Lakers, talked about his game. We'll hear that next.